Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to The Junks. We are live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of The Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Joining us later on the guest roster, we have Ron Rivera, Washington football team head coach. He is scheduled at 8:25. He's going to join us every Tuesday throughout the NFL season. Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus joins the show at 9 to talk some NFL and fantasy. And Doug Williams, Super Bowl winning quarterback for the Washington football team. He is on the schedule at 9:25.
I always love talking to Doug.
So there's a lot to get to today. Mm-hmm. But now it's time to hit the skins because they have a game. Hello in 2 days, Thursday night.
Real quick, want to give a shout out to my son, my one and only son, my firstborn. Happy 21st birthday. He won't hear this, but just want to acknowledge that.
Very good.
Stephen Carl Bickle, 21 today. I remember it like it was yesterday, the day he was born. I was telling my wife this. I'm sure you guys have similar thoughts when your children were born. When Stephen was born, it was so September 14th, 2000. I was 30 years old, still a donk, still just, you know, kind of, you know, we had been doing this for a few years, but, you know, not really established.
Right.
And still partying too much and just not really having much responsibility. Well, as soon as he was born, I remember because he was born at Holy Cross Hospital.
Right.
And I had to go get something for my wife at the Wheaton Plaza, which is right across the street. And I went to the mall or Wheaton Mall, whatever they call it. I went to the mall, and all of a sudden, I felt like a big silly. I felt like
you were a dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'd procreated.
It's his birthday, so it's about him, but his right. birth made me feel like all of a sudden, we had a family, I had a responsibility.
It's a game changer.
It was a total, immediate, like, we hadn't even taken the kid home from the hospital yet. And I just remember ordering some, like, Chinese food. I think maybe I was getting some food for D or something, right? Because hospital food's awful. And thinking, well, man, I got to provide for D. I got to provide for this kid now.
Yeah.
And it was a immediate game changer that I didn't necessarily expect.
G. Gordon would have said, you're virile and vigorous, CB. Yeah.
Did you feel that as a recent parent of Drabby, you know, when the twins came? Like, immediate responsibility?
Absolutely. I still feel that all the time.
Yeah.
Whenever I go home and I see them crawling around and smiling,
yeah.
I think, how is this my life now? Like, this is crazy.
I also thought, and you guys might feel differently, but that my entire life prior to that, is completely trivial and a waste of life. It meant nothing. Now life begins. That's how I kind of looked at it. But I know that's a unique perspective. Anyway.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
It changes your life. I know everyone says it. If you don't have kids, you don't really understand it, but it completely changes.
And I'm just going to say one other quick thing, and then we're going to hit the skins. And I don't want to mean
my kids were both born at Holy Cross, so I know exactly how you were feeling there.
Yeah.
Randy Edsel hates that hospital.
Yeah,
no, despises it.
Yeah.
He lost the Holy Cross.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on,
one last thing.
He hates a lot of hospitals.
We didn't talk about 9/11, you know, and the anniversary of it, but at that point, I remember I had one child, and I've said this before. when 9/11 hit, I remember having a conversation with my dad, who's been gone for 17 years now, but it is a conversation I will never forget. And I said to him, I was so down about 9/11, and I said, why would I ever bring another child into this world? This is insane. Like, we all just want to kill it. This is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And he just encouraged me to be positive or whatever, and I'll just never forget it, because we had two more kids after that, and I'm about to cry. But our life's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was just an incredible conversation, and it was, you know, the day of 9/11, or maybe 9/12.
You're getting me emotional
and
now.
I just never had a chance to talk about it when we just went through the 9/11 stuff, you know, a couple days ago. But I did want to mention that. That was maybe one of the most important conversations I've ever had in my life. Mm-hmm. So I remember that.
JP, my oldest daughter was on my chest because she was 3 months old. My wife was at the gym. Mm-hmm. She was on my chest when I was watching the planes hit the towers.
Yeah.
I was watching it up with Kelsey. Kelsey was born 6 days after Stevie, so she'll turn 21 on September 20th, also at Holy Cross Hospital.
Yeah.
And I remember I sent an AOL instant message to Cakes, and I said, you need to turn on the TV, and he was like,
I know exactly
He thought I was talking about fantasy football.
I'll tell you exactly what I
was talking about, McCaffrey's broken leg or something.
Right.
It was, because it was Tuesday morning, because Monday Night Football just happened, and Eddie McCaffrey.
And by the way, we used to sleep in at that time, because we were a nighttime show. And at that time, we were syndicated, I believe. So we're getting home at like midnight, 12:30.
I believe it was Eddie McCaffrey broke his leg on Monday Night Football.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
And I was scrambling to pick up Eddie Kennison. Because, I mean, it's 9/11. You don't forget what you were doing or where you were. And JP's like, you need to turn on the news. I was like, what? Breaking football story, something about the Redskins, whatever? He's like, no, you need to turn on your TV. And obviously saw the horror unfold that day.
Never forget it.
Yep.
All right, so anyway,
20 years.
We'll get back to Hit the Skins. Just a side note, happy birthday to my boy. To everybody's kids here.
Hey, he can have his first drink now.
Yeah, his very first one. I think they're all going out tonight.
What that alcohol tastes like.
Yeah. It'll be a wonder to them.
Revelation.
All right, so we had Ron Rivera, a press conference yesterday, and obviously he was asked, I think, about the Heinicke injury, right? Fitz injury.
Yeah, he wanted to give an update.
Give an update on the situation. Everyone. Here you go. Here's Coach Ron.
Did he mention a water slide?
Might.
Sublux it. We are going to put him on IR. He will continue his with a couple of more visits with the doctors just to get another opinion. I don't know any much more than that. We will start Taylor this week. He will be backed up by Kyle. And we brought in Kyle Shermer as a practice squad player that we're going to try and get up to speed and have him as an emergency guy for now. So that's where we are. As I said, I don't know anything much more about the injury other than he did sublux it. We're going to get a second opinion just to make sure on all the stuff that we have. And we're going to put him on our IR, and we're going to go from there. As we learn more, we'll go from there.
All right, so I'm sure people are driving around like Cakes, and they're going, what is a sublux? Like, what does that mean? Here's the definition according to nationwidechildren.org.
I need some help here.
When the ball is not fully in the socket, it is called hip subluxation. Hip subluxation can cause limited range of motion of the hip and change growth of the femur and hip bone. I guess this relates to children. Over time, a subluxed hip can become dislocated when the ball of the hip is not in the socket at all and can cause pain. So that's more children-related.
No,
the essence of the injury.
I don't want to make it about me, but I used to sublux my shoulder at will because I had a banged up shoulder, and it's basically just popping out. Now, I don't know enough about the hip, but it's also a ball and socket type of thing. So
probably doesn't feel
it may
good.
Pop out no. quick and then slide back in, but it sounds like he's had some damage.
Now, I've run the numbers. When he comes back, Fitz only needs to if he plays in 9 games, he only needs to average 3.5555 touchdowns per game.
That's actually doable.
That's doable.
It's not like 7.
I'm just putting it out there.
With these receivers,
you can get it.
I'm putting it out there into the universe.
By the way, I'm still missing the dollar that Cakes owes me for the Jimmy G.
You know what? Someday I'll sit down and I'll Venmo everybody. I just haven't done it yet.
I mean, it all adds up. I just need...
It does add up.
I need to put that back in my Omnev account.
Sure, so just, of course.
Let me know when you're going to do that.
Every dollar counts. I understand.
All right. We have Ron coming on in about an hour or so, right? And we're going to have him every Tuesday, I think at 8:25. But again, yesterday at the press conference, He was asked, and he talks about Heinicke and what he sees, I guess, when he watches the tape.
Look at the tape. What were your thoughts of the offense with Taylor Heinicke in there?
Well, I was obviously we were pleased. You know, we moved the ball well. We made some things happen. You know, we moved the ball well early, too. We just didn't put it in the end zone. But with Taylor, we got one in the end zone. I thought the throw that he made to Logan was a heck of a throw, heck of a play by Logan. And it's unfortunate. You know, we had some other opportunities that we missed. We didn't convert a couple times we had opportunity to. And, of course, we can't turn the ball over. But, you know, it was good to see some of the things that happened out there.
What do you think the ideal number of passes is going to be for Taylor Heinicke? Like, is he going to get 25 passes, or is he going to be a 40-pass guy?
No, 25. They got Antonio Gibson,
dude. I think 25 to 30
is 25.
His sweet spot.
25. Look, he's not – he doesn't have a gun. You don't want to expose it that often.
Yeah, if he's slinging it 40 times.
They don't want that.
That's bad for the Washington football team.
No. 25, move
around.
Well,
how many passes do you have against Tampa?
I'd have to pull that.
Sometimes
they will if they're down.
I mean, time and score will dictate.
Yeah, but I mean, more often than not, they're going to want to give it to Gibson, maybe even give it to Patterson some. And then I guess, you know, technically they're passes, but these little swing passes and those sorts of things to the backs, they're going to want to do that more than they're going to really ask him to stretch the field a lot. Right.
But he probably won't have to make the plays that he would have to make against the Chargers because, you know, Daniel Jones, chances are he's going to give you the ball.
By the way, he threw it 44 times against Tampa in that playoff game.
Yeah, time and score.
Right.
I mean, it dictated it. They were down.
And just going back to that previous caller, because I watched him in the highlights, there were plenty of times where he just dropped back, planted his leg, and ripped it.
And by the way, he had 6 carries for 46 and the tutty.
Yeah. It was a great game.
So he's going to get some yardage with his wheels.
Look, I kind of lean towards Jason's philosophy. I don't know if it's a philosophy, but his comment that eventually the league's going to figure it out. Defense coordinator is going to look at Taylor Heinicke. I kind of lean towards that. But if I just look at the body of work in a Washington football team uniform, I can't help but be impressed. He has moved the ball. When they have had Taylor Heinicke on the field, it's been a spark.
He's been effective.
He's played well.
He's been an effective piece for them.
So that's all I can really judge him on.
Well, now we'll have to see if he can string it over 5 or 6 or 8 games.
Right.
If he can continue that.
All right, we have one more clip where Ron is asked directly if the playbook will change with the new quarterback.
I know you're not going to rewrite or redo the entire playbook now that there's a change of quarterback, but obviously Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heinicke are two different types of guys, and you've been gearing up all offseason for the one guy. What is probably the biggest change you see with Heinicke in there versus Fitzpatrick?
Taylor's going to start, and then it'll be about the decisions that Taylor makes when he's got the ball in his hands. I mean, that's the truth that matters. Ben, just so you know, what we do offensively, both those guys have the ability to do. And there was no, when Taylor was in, we called something different. You know, we call the same plays for both those guys. So there really isn't any difference in the way that, you know, the plays are being called by Scott.
So there you go. They don't really have separate playbooks. It's just their interpretations of it and how sort of each play, you know, plays out.
He shouldn't have a separate playbook, doesn't he? Allegedly know the offense in and out. That's
sure.
Part of the reason he's there.
Sure, but you would think maybe them being a little more mobile, being younger, that maybe they would cater to that system.
Yeah, don't you think? I think it's interesting because each one has a different skill set.
Yeah.
You know,
still are slightly different styles.
Right. People always rag on Heinicke's arm strength, you know, and then everyone talks about the deep shots that Fitz's going to take. Well, Taylor's not limited to that.
I don't want to overstate the arm strength. He can make the throws.
Absolutely.
It's just that, you know, as JP says, he has to make it with anticipation, and he's not going to necessarily, you know, like a tight window, zip one in there, you know, like a Favre type of thing. But he can make a tight window throw in anticipation and a timing pattern and get it a decent way.
You know, again, I went back and I just looked at highlights from the Tampa game. I mean, he sticks some throws in there.
Yeah.
Now, over time, who knows? I remember as a fan, the first time I saw him, and I think you had the same reaction, And when he came in Fillmore, it seemed like there were a lot of like 50-50 balls. And you're like, well, eventually these are going to turn into picks.
Well, like the ball he threw to McLaurin.
Right.
Like, yeah.
I mean, Derwin James could pick that off.
He's not going to feed his family on those throws.
Right.
But you have to take chances.
Yeah.
So there will be some of those. But that, hey, you're not going to feed his family on those.
You're going to see those with Fitz in there anyway. So if I'm Heineke, I'm ripping out some 50-50 balls too.
All right.
Well, either way, this is it's a big game. Yeah. I'm not going to say it's a game changer if they lose, but it's a big game.
When we come back.
And 0-2 hurts when you lose them both at home.
Yeah, 100%. It's pretty much what must win. When we come back, I want to get into the RG3 stuff.
We have to.
It seems like we can never escape the guy. Valdez and I were even talking about it during the break, and I've actually felt this way for several years. I feel sorry for him.
Right.
Would you have to go to social media and do what he's been doing lately? Yeah. That's embarrassing.
All right, we'll talk about RG3 and his wackadoo tweet from yesterday next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Head coach Ron Rivera slated to join us at 8:25. The one seed is listening on the radio, but if you miss it, you can always listen on the Odyssey app. But we implore you to listen on the radio.
Yes.
106.7 The Fan. That's very important.
Appointment listening, 8:25 every Tuesday. Coach Ron Rivera is going to join us, which is fantastic.
And yes, we are going to ask him his walk-up song.
We have to. He's going to be a regular guest.
Is he a music guy? Do we know?
I'm sure most humans are music guys.
Most humans, except for Drab.
Yeah.
So I want to get into the RG3 thing. First of all, before I even get into him tweeting about, make the call,
I didn't realize, for those that don't know, you should mention the reason it did come out, because a lot of people don't know, is he tweeted make the call with a highlight of his long touchdown run.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. But before I get into that, I want to get into his tweet about Jameis Winston, which he did on Sunday, after the game. And this actually angered me because... And I've always defended Robert. I attack him, but deep down, I think he's a good dude. This was not a cool tweet from Robert. Like, if you're Jameis Winston, what's the one thing everyone goofs on you about is the crab leg bit, right?
Yeah, sure.
Which was a dark moment for him. It's something you want to be, probably is something that all those guys were getting for free all the time anyway. It was no big deal.
Yep.
But it was used to embarrass him.
Of course.
And so after he throws for 5 touchdowns, Robert brings up one of the corniest jokes. I guess it's a joke.
Right.
He says, after beating Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Jameis Winston, this is supposed to be like, aren't quarterbacks supposed to kind of stick up for each other?
It's like a fraternity, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a fraternity. Like, if you watch Eli and Peyton, we'll talk about that later, those guys were looking at that entire game through the lens of the quarterback and with sort of empathy towards what the quarterback was going through. He tweets, after beating Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Jameis Winston is now requesting strategy meetings with the Saints, brass, and demanding 5 crab legs, 1 for every touchdown he threw. And then he has a picture of him, you know, with the crab. I mean, it's just, it's not funny.
That was a good
it's
justice.
Dumb. It's bringing back one of the most embarrassing things in Jameis's career.
It's classic hack humor.
It's so
that's
hacky.
What it is. He
not
thinks
funny.
He thinks it's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's not. He it proves
he's
me.
That's unfunny. Human.
He is.
He's the big John. He's not enjoyable to be around.
He's unfunny.
I guarantee you that.
No, Robert Griffin III is an unfunny person. It's impossible that
he's the
funny.
Big John of quarterbacks.
Yeah. It's possible. So anyway, I just thought, especially with that quarterback fraternity, that is not a good look for you to make fun of Jameis.
And
you're no better than Jameis. Are you kidding? Jameis's career trounces.
Dumps on his career. You looked at his Twitter.
That is true.
And EB confirmed this a few 100%. Minutes ago. A few minutes ago, I said that if Heinicke goes out and has a poor game, Robert's going to make like a Heineken. He's going to make a Heineken
what did
joke.
I tell you?
And you told me he's already made it. He made it like on September 12th.
He made it on Sunday.
Oh, he did a hacky Heineken.
Yeah, he said Russell Wilson right before the Jameis tweet, which I think was mean and uncalled for. And it doesn't matter. Jameis will blow it off. But I guarantee you, Jameis wasn't happy when he saw Robert tweeting that.
Please tell me. I'm not going to waste my time looking through it, but please tell me he's getting roasted in the comments.
Oh, he is.
Just getting killed
now,
for
to
it.
Hit, to Robert's credit, I'll give him this. I love guys that stand up for what he didn't delete the tweet.
Okay.
He kept it up there, right. And he acknowledged. He said, I'm getting roasted.
Did he just say, did
so
he come back and say,
for that.
Yeah.
Did he come back and say, look, it was just a joke?
No, he just said, I'm
it was
getting,
a poor joke, hacky joke.
He's just
joke,
saying, but I'm getting roasted. I think he tried to make up for it by his next tweet was, Jameis threw 5 touchdowns in his debut for the Saints. He could demand whatever he wants if he keeps playing like that. That was his way to kind of, I think.
That's his olive branch.
Yeah, to suck up, you know, after people were killing him. Because I really, truly think that was a violation.
It's a
That's like a man code violation.
It's a jackass move by him.
Yeah,
to tweet that.
Jameis, his career's better than yours. You guys are alleged somewhat colleagues in that fraternity.
Yeah.
That was a cheap shot.
And
when
did the crab legs fiasco happen?
Years
was
ago.
A decade ago?
And it would be one thing if it was funny, but unfunny.
Yeah, but look at the tweet after that. He says when Jameis gets paid, he'll be accused of stealing money, just like he was accused of stealing crab legs.
So it keeps going.
Yeah. He just can't. He can't help
no, I think he's defending him. Like he's saying that he never stole the crab legs. It's very confusing.
Here, you know what, Robert? Stop with the crab legs bit.
He just wants to stay relevant.
See, that's where he's making up. For the previous tweet.
I got you.
Yeah.
He just wants to stay relevant.
I guess.
And he's irrelevant.
Yes. Right.
But it's just,
he just is.
It's a cheap shot, and it's why he was seen as selfish. It's no different than when he threw his offensive line. Remember when he said, do I look like I'm playing with the receivers Aaron Rodgers has or the offensive line? Remember when he did that bit?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what he did, but he kind of inadvertently, obviously, threw his teammates under the bus. He's throwing a former colleague under the bus in a way that's just not a good look for him, in my opinion. Am I overanalyzing it? Probably, but I promise you that Jameis Winston did not appreciate that and certainly didn't deserve that.
How did RG3 do with his color commentating?
No clue. I'm sure he was
didn't
fine.
See it.
Analyst
sure
work or studio work. I'm not even sure what he's doing.
I think I watched 5 minutes. Maybe it was Baylor, Texas Tech, or Texas Tech. Was
Is he a studio
somebody.
Guy?
I think he was on the call of the game.
He does both.
I think it was Houston. It was
I mean,
Houston
people
and
have
Texas
actually
Tech.
Been complimentary of.
So then, yeah, because he does have an engaging personality, and I, unlike Jason, I think he's probably a nice person, but he's so selfish.
He's cheesy.
And he's cheesy.
He's very me, me, me,
I think
me,
he's
me.
Probably
he's
fake.
Me, me, me,
I think
me,
he's
me.
Probably fake.
Maybe so. So then.
I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. That's just my gut.
I think he's deep down a decent guy, but he's just been
so. Well,
yeah,
I mean, he's not going to kill your kids.
Yeah, he's been so coddled.
But I don't know if you'd want to be around him every day.
He's funny as like a 10 truck pileup on 81 when you're driving down to Virginia Tech.
Correct.
He's about that funny.
So unfunny. Fitz goes down, and then almost to a man, anytime an ex-NFL guy tweets a highlight of himself making a play, like Junior Gillette or Dez Bryant or something, it's embarrassing. When they say, so he tweets, make the call. He actually puts it on his Instagram.
Right.
Make the call.
Embarrassing.
And it's him running, streaking down the sidelines, one of his great moments here that it will be etched in history against the Vikings, right? No doubt. But they ain't making the call, Robert. Nobody's making
the call. Ron Rivera would call Sonny Jurgensen before he called Robert.
He's not calling you, Robert. And it's, you know that. They're not
Everyone
doing.
Knows it.
If you don't
Everyone
know it, it, then you're as delusional as at times I think you are. Do you think he knows that, or is he just doing that for attention?
That he's delusional?
No, do you think he knows that they're not calling?
Oh, he knows. Of course he does.
Yeah, I mean, he's got an agent.
Because you got an agent.
He's got an agent.
You've been available. I guarantee if anybody called him and said, we have a ninth string job.
In an era when
would have taken
teams have never been more starved for quarterback talent than they are in 2021, and he is getting crickets on his phone as far as calls.
Yeah.
Nobody's calling. Nobody's interested. I know Ron Rivera's not interested.
But you don't think he could be a capable backup or third string?
If he could be,
he was exposed the last time he played with the Ravens. And it's just been too many of the same performance.
I think he can be a capable backup. To answer your question, I do, because Kyle Shermer just got picked up. And you look around the league at some of the backups, he could be a backup. The problem is he brings that personality baggage, and teams just don't want to touch him.
It's
kind of like with Cam Newton. Is Cam Newton in the top 64 quarterbacks in the league? Yes, he is. He's a top 64 quarterbacks, but he's not on a team for other reasons.
Well, of course, because of the drama and stuff that they bring that's associated with them.
And I think RG3 is a top 64 quarterback.
But also, they also know. Like,
I don't know.
Whatever, the Shermer kid, what the difference with him is he hasn't shown his ceiling yet. We already know Robert's ceiling. We already know how much his play has decreased over the years, and there's very little window. Can Robert run an offense? Sure. But they know he's terrible.
But is it worth
he hasn't proven he's terrible yet.
Is it worth having him in the locker room?
No.
That's the question.
No.
I mean, and it's not.
Robert's play started decreasing in 2013.
What kind of locker room shenanigans was he doing?
No, with the Ravens,
lately.
I think he was fine. By all accounts, he was fine. I think he was cut by the Ravens because he's not good at the position. There's no potential anymore. It's gone. It's see you and want to be you. And they'd rather have young guys who they want to still see their potential. And I think the whole league has done that.
I'm with you.
Now, Robert actually run an offense, and maybe for a quarter or two, and not throw a couple picks? Sure. But over four quarters, he's terrible. He makes terrible decisions.
Well, hold on.
And
well,
he's
you
not
can't,
the athlete he was.
Well, you can't hold his shenanigans that he's doing in the locker room against them when you just said he's probably not doing that stuff anymore.
No, Jason is. I'm not.
That's just
I'm
my
not.
Opinion.
Jason
my
is.
Opinion.
I'm not.
I had heard
he was good in the locker room and the Ravens players liked him.
But why would you have a guy who's a potential headache as a fringe third stringer in your locker room?
Well, every player's a potential headache.
Not like him.
What has he done lately?
He's a media whore.
He's a diva me first guy. That's always.
But the reason why he's not in the league is I disagree with you. He sucks. He actually sucks. Shermer may suck, but they don't. They want to see his potential. They know the potential on Robert is zero. No potential. He sucks. He could get you the line of scrimmage. He could scramble around a little bit. He can make one or two throws, but if he has to make 10, he's going to throw a pick, probably a pick six.
Look, if he was good, he would have a job right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
Every team that is potentially interested has passed on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if it came down to it as a starting quarterback, RG3 is a better option than Kyle Shermer. If you have to win two games, like your quarterback's out for two games and you need a fill-in, you're going to have RG3 in there before some guy who's been from practice squad to practice squad.
I don't know that because I've never seen Kyle Shermer play.
Stephen Montez. You're going to have RG3 ahead of Stephen.
No, Stephen Montez sucks. That's why they let him go. They saw enough. Yeah. It took 2 years.
That's
they
why
saw
somebody
enough.
Else's
right,
problem.
But that's why guys like Geno Smith, they hang around forever, even though they didn't have a lot of success, is because you could probably put them in there and they're going to be able to handle themselves.
All right, well, then tell me why.
In other words, Robert could do that. He could go to line of scrimmage and not jump off sides. But that's about it.
Because right now you don't need him. Like Cam Newton, clearly better quarterback than Kyle Shermer.
Yeah, well, he's going to cost you more.
Right, but I
and there's just, I'm sorry, there's always a personality issue. There's always a factor with personalities with these guys. It just is. Why doesn't RG3 have a job?
Because
why doesn't Cam have a job?
And he's unfunny.
Well, it's because he's not that good. But I think it's also because of the baggage. Because is he better than PJ Walker? PJ Walker is the backup right now to Sam Darnold.
I would say the potential on PJ Walker greater than the potential on Robert.
Oh, it's not even close. PJ Walker, if Sam Darnold goes down, he'll go in and. He can be competitive and keep your team competitive. Robert could not at this point.
Is a shot.
PJ Walker's career stats are one touchdown, five.
Yeah, but that's PJ Walker played for the same coach in college. He knows
I understand
him.
That, but I'm saying the only reason I brought up a couple of these names is you can go down the list. There are guys who are backups. You're going to be like, I can't even believe he's still in the league. Is RG3 better talent-wise on the field than some of those guys? Yes.
I think you're
it's the other stuff that prevents him from being on the field. So you think every
I think Robert's talent
you think he's worse than every quarterback who's on a roster right now?
I think his talent throwing the ball sucks.
I understand that. Do you think he's worse than every quarterback on a roster right now? Because I do not.
For the most part, yes.
Probably.
You're going back to Robert.
Hey, that means you think
hot garbage.
That means you think Taysom Hill's better.
Taysom Hill was better than Robert. It's not even close.
He said really Taysom Hill was the worst quarterback
really
in the world.
It's a really hard one for me to say.
It's
a really hard one.
JP goes back to the optimized version of everybody. So JP is envisioning Robert.
No, he's not Robert 2012. Robert 2012.
First of all, I was the first guy out on RG3 in this room. Is he better than Nathan Peterman?
No.
I'm saying there are a lot of guys
Nathan
in the league.
Nathan Peterman's a better passer than him, and he can't run anymore.
I think that he's probably better than some guys on rosters right now.
I would say... Every quarterback except for Taysom Hill, and he and Taysom are probably equal passers.
No.
Every quarterback is a better passer than
Hill's
him.
Hill's a better passer.
Taysom Hill's so much better.
He's a terrible passer. He throws a pretty spiral, but he doesn't make the right reads, throws picks. He's hot garbage. In fact, when he played his last game, I tweeted it at the time, checked my timeline. I think that's the last time we'll ever see Robert play in the NFL.
Look, he's a guy that clearly has... issues coming to grips with his career on the field being over.
I feel bad for
guys.
He's
not the only guy.
He didn't live up to his potential. I feel bad.
Do you know who the backups are on the Rams right now?
The Rams, hold on. Of course, you have Stafford. I might need some help there.
John Wolford.
Okay.
And Bryce Perkins.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, Wolford played, was he in a playoff game?
Yeah, he beat the Seahawks in a playoff game.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is...
He's definitely better than RG3.
Definitely better.
I think both
RG3 can be better than some of the guys in the league. It's the baggage. And look, I don't think he's good. I never thought he was good. Even at the height of his powers, I was calling him RG Screen.
No, he's not good.
I know he's not good.
Well, and RG3 may not.
I know he's not good.
RG3 may not sign up and say, all right, I'll be the practice squad player or the number three.
I think he would be. That's why he's not signed now. I'm saying he's not signed now because he can't play. I think he
sucks. I know, but everyone's bringing up the baggage.
I think it's a combination.
I also think that's why Cam is not being signed because they know, okay, he can run the ball from the goal line, but he sucks passing. And then you do have the extra stuff where he's kind of, a handful will pass. Right. I think that's why Cam.
Yeah, you can ask the same
they've
question.
They've done the cost-benefit analysis on both RG3 and Cam.
And they do it on Cam repeatedly around here. Repeated.
Right. He's not coming here. Cam Newton is not
can we
showing
go
up
quickly?
Here.
I don't know if we have time. I wanted to go to Dave.
All right, maybe we can get him after the break. Don't forget, Ron Rivera, Washington football team head coach, is going to join us on the show coming up at 8:25.
All right, you get more for your money at Thompson Creek. Call now for the September savings event. Buy one window, get one 40% off, plus no interest until 2023. Most replacement window companies are quoting extremely long lead times because of supply chain delays. Thompson Creek does it all. Design, build, and install so you'll get your windows faster and won't pay the middleman markup. Right now is the best time to replace your windows before the cold weather sets in. Call Thompson Creek now at 855-57-CREEK to save 40%.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Head coach Ron Rivera of the Washington football team at 8:25. So that is coming up in the next hour. And at 9 o'clock, Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus joins us. We'll go around the league with him. And Doug Williams is on the show at 9:25.
Nice. EB, you might feel good. I know that you hated the poll with Fitz going down. Should the Washington football team sign another free agent quarterback like Cam Newton or RG3 or whoever?
RG3.
73% say no. So they're happy to roll with the guys they have.
Yeah, but man, that loud minority of Cam guys is so annoying.
Oh, they are loud, certainly.
I just don't know what people are watching.
By the way, Jason, I sent you your Venmo dollar during
the
break.
Thank you.
I want you to read the subject
line.
Isn't
it aren't you supposed to do that for all of us?
I'll get around to everybody.
Does it have any F-bombs in it?
No, it's clean.
I'm happy to accept the Venmo dollar.
I'm working PG over here, okay?
All right, time now for the Junkies Blitz presented by Offenbachers. Visit Offenbachers in Annapolis, Rockville, or Herndon for a huge selection of outdoor furniture that's in stock and ready for delivery right to your backyard. And we can start with the Monday Night Football game, which was a great game last night. Raiders pull it out in overtime, 33-27. Lamar Jackson hit the over, 225 passing yards, 235 yards passing, had a touchdown. Really nice touchdown pass on a scramble to the right and found Hollywood Brown in the back of the end zone. But two fumbles from Lamar, who also ran for 86 yards. And
what was the other fumble besides the Nassib one?
He had a fumble. I can't remember what quarter it was. It was on a scramble.
Has he had that issue in the past?
In his rookie year. He actually had three fumbles. One was on the mesh point of a option.
Oh, that's true.
Three lost fumbles?
Does he get credited for that one?
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Three fumbles, two lost.
That one is just, I give him a little bit of a pass on the read option one.
Such nerdy football language. I had never heard that term before last night. That's the mesh point of the RPO.
Well, you're a novice then if you've never heard the word mesh point before.
I've never heard it before last night's broadcast.
Well, Derek Carr gets criticized a lot. And, you know, we still don't know who Brady was referring to. Remember that clip over the summer?
Called him an MF, or they're sticking with that MF.
A lot of people speculated that it was Derek Carr. Who knows? Carr had a pretty good game. Now, if you watched the first half, he looked off. Like, he was throwing behind guys.
I watched the first quarter, and I thought my under 260 was a lock.
Yeah, you're feeling good.
But he ends up the game
the number when I woke
with
up.
435 yards passing, two touchdowns. Did have an interception.
By the way, you know how many playoff games he's played in?
Zippy.
Yeah, I know.
Eight years. Think about that. 8 years.
Yeah, but he's now got 25 fourth quarter comebacks.
That's shocking to me.
Well, that tells me also that the Raiders are losing a lot and that he has to.
Now, he would have played in it because he went 12-3 in 1 year, but remember he got hurt late in the year?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, and who did they start in the playoffs?
Was it McGloin?
Oh, it was the guy who went to Michigan State.
Oh, it was something Cook? Was his name?
Yeah, Cook, yeah.
He's bad. I know he's a terrible quarterback.
Yeah, but. So he would have played in that.
Anyway,
one,
Raiders get the win in overtime over the Ravens. A lot of people, including myself, were watching the ESPN2 telecast, which it featured Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. A lot of shtick early. Here's when Charles Barkley joined the Manning brothers.
Charles, what position would Michael Jordan play if he played in the NFL?
Tight end. Tight end, because you know he's about 6'6".
You think he wants the block? How about
Bird? There's plenty of good tight ends who are in the Hall of Fame who can't block. Your job is to catch the ball if you're a tight end. Stop
They're
it,
receivers.
Peyton.
They're receivers. How about Larry Bird? How about Bird?
No, there's no place for no slow 6'10 guy in the NFL.
Punter.
Yep, that's about it.
I hated the shtick.
I DVR'd it. I didn't watch it. So tell me about it. Why was it just awkward?
Yes, it's just awkward, and it's just detracting from the football. And honestly, when you listen to Peyton, and I give Peyton credit. I've turned a corner on Peyton. He's really charming. Before I just thought, you know, they're giving him lines or whatever. He's charming. He's good. Eli's obviously quieter and it's not as smooth. But when they're breaking down the game and they're watching the game from the eyes of a quarterback from, you know,
yeah,
what combined four Super Bowl wins between those guys, a legendary quarterback family.
That's when it's good.
That's when it's incredible. And so drop the shtick. Never have Barkley. Don't have actors. Don't have, you know, stop it.
Well, they did bits. Here's a bit.
Did you rip your pants off when Barkley and both Mannings are on the screen?
I did. Because, Peyton Manning is my all-time favorite NFL player. And Barkley is, if not number one, number two. It's like Barkley or Dirk. Those are my all two.
They were wasting time with the golf swing stuff.
But yeah, that stuff was not great.
They were out of here.
But overall, I really liked the telecast. Like, I actually switched it over at one point to, is it Greasy, Riddick, and Levy?
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I doing? Let me go back to the Manning brothers.
I liked it
with the players better than Charles. Like, mm-hmm. Charles is just like his personality, okay? Like, they were talking about gambling
never
and this and that.
I didn't love that. Never.
And I didn't love the bit so much. Here's Peyton doing his Gruden impersonation, I believe.
I've always wanted to play John Gruden. This is what John Gruden is saying to Derek Carr in the headset. They're going, no huddle. Eli, they're going, Bronco right tight, shorty flash. I'll let you know. Call it. All right, hey, guys, here we go. We got Bronco right tight, shorty flash on the freeze play. Freeze play. Ready? Break.
Here we go. Hey, it's cover two. Run 58 freedom. 58 freedom.
Hey, let me get to my cadence here. I got to get
sorry.
A white 18.
I'm just so excited.
White 18. Hut. Hey, no one's moving. Hey, I see it's cover two. Hey, red, 58 freedom. Red, 58 freedom. Down. Said Hut.
There it is.
See, that's actually
pretty good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then when they brought in, Russell Wilson came in the fourth quarter.
I didn't see that.
I stayed up late.
I assume that
Russell Wilson, like, it was great because it's three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And they just kept talking. Now, the Ravens run a lot of cover zero, and they kept just talking about, like, Russell Wilson, like, called out a play. He's like, if I'm Derek Carr right now, I'm thinking they're going to they're coming at me. Cover zero. I'm thinking Henry Ruggs for a deep shot. It's going to come probably when we're about the 50-yard line. And sure enough, they're at about like the 40-yard line, and they run that deep pattern to Ruggs. He gets the one-on-one matchup that like Russell Wilson was foreseeing. And it's I find that stuff fascinating.
I never back to the regular broadcast once I started watching the Manning brothers.
I did, because I found it a little bit off-putting at times.
I wonder if more people...
It's very awkward, because they're not smooth.
But how much of it was bits? I mean, was 90% of it just talking about the game?
90% about
bits
the game.
Bits were early. I think the bits were early.
And the feedback was the bits are brutal.
And I thought Ray Lewis was great, too.
Ray was good.
They were kind of telling old stories of, you know, they played each other a million times. I wonder, though, we can open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067. Were you like Cakes and found it distracting
it
and didn't like it?
I wasn't crazy. I would try it again to see if they iron some things out. I applaud them for trying something different. It's a little bit out of the box. But I went back. I went to the old standard.
You know why? Here's why. Because the focus wasn't so much on the game, and Kicks was probably having a hard time tracking the fantasy numbers, I'm going to guess.
Might have been part of it.
Yeah. Having a hard time tracking the fantasy numbers. Because when you're watching the game, you're not getting every single play. What you're more into is just the insight, what these guys are seeing learning about football.
Even when they rewind.
I watched football for 45 of my 51 years, probably. I feel like I know football pretty well. I know nothing compared to those guys, and you're learning so much.
Did you know what a mesh point was?
I learned last night.
They just point out, like, look, when a guy's in motion, boom, you know that it's man. Now you're going to check down to this play, and you're going to look over to the right side, and you got bunch formation. I mean, it's pretty fascinating.
So are they doing this for every Monday night game?
No, but I think
they started it was going to be a half, and I think they bumped it up to that they're doing it every week. I'd have to check on that.
I thought I saw something where those guys are maybe doing it out of seven of them or something. I don't know what it is. Mm. Maybe it's every week.
I also thought it was fascinating. Travis Kelce was on, or Travis Kelce. Remember, he said that's how his name is pronounced?
I'll never call him Travis Kelce, ever.
And at one point, Peyton was saying, how are you watching this game? Because the Chiefs play the Ravens next, right?
So Peyton is kind of teeing him up.
He's like, are you paying attention to the coverages? Are you paying attention to the linebackers? And then Kelce, I don't know if Kelce or Kelce was listening.
Right.
He didn't know they were playing the Ravens. He was like, yeah, we're going to play them sometime. But he had no clue who they were playing next.
He's going to know when they go into the complex today.
That's shocking to me.
Yeah.
I'm not that shocked.
How could he not know who's playing next week?
Because he hadn't gone into he hadn't gone in yet to start his week.
He knew they were coming up. He said, we have the Chargers or the Ravens or someone next.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. He doesn't care that much. He's so silly. Right. He didn't care that much.
Yeah. Just they win and they have Mondays off.
Surprised. Yeah, Mondays off. He hadn't been in the building yet, so he hadn't had his week.
Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday, the coaches tell him.
Let me say this. Whoever was doing that Chargers game, who was doing that? Who was the color guy that was doing that game? Do you guys remember?
The Washington game?
He was
good. Yeah, Jay Feely, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jay Feely. Jay Feely, the kicker. This is how easy it is for these guys that played in the league. He called out the trick play right away. He did a Romo bit. Mm-hmm. And he could tell the way they lined up one of the guards or whatever. And he said, oh, trick play here, trick play here. And sure enough, Mahomes threw it to the tackle. And I was like, I love that stuff.
By the way, was Jay Feely the guy who tweeted out the picture of all the pros' sons who are now playing for Arizona State? Made me feel butt old. I think it's his son. Chad Johnson's kid, Antonio Pierce's kid, and somebody else I'm forgetting. Mm. I'm like, oh my God. Get my coffin right.
Cam Edwards gets sized.
All these guys are have their kids playing in college now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right, coming up on the show, don't forget it. Make that radio appointment at 8:25. Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team, makes his first of weekly appearances on the Junks at 8:25.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.